You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
It's my great pleasure to introduce the person preaching for us today. Many of you know Reverend Dr. Steve Martin because he and his wife Diane have been long-term members and have a deep connection here at St. Luke. Some of you know him because he is a professor of theology and Christian spirituality at Asbury Theological Seminary. He is a gifted teacher, a gifted preacher, a deeply committed spiritual person that I personally have learned a lot from over the many years that we've known each other. And he is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church. So I am really happy to be able to let you know, if you don't already know who this is, you're in for a real treat.
All right. Well, first, I'd be amiss if I didn't say that our poor preacher, Roe, over here has been beaten up lately. But after months of rehab, Bishop Davis is back. Do I hear an amen? And Reverend Terry Ferris had surgery, a knee replacement yesterday, and now he's here. So we're pretty impressed. Y'all just pray for that row, okay? You know, we need lots of prayer. Anyway, what a joy to share with you this morning. One of the true joys I've had over the years is to occasionally be asked to come back here and teach our children's Sunday school. So this would be K through 2 and then 3 through 5. Of course, my wife always comes and helps, and sometimes our granddaughter Avery comes and helps because we need lots of help. But this has been something that you're going to benefit from later today, so just hold on. But now what I want to do is to ask one of our students here who's going to change the world when she gets a little older, Miss Annie Buchanan, to come and read the scripture. So out of respect for the word, would you stand as Annie reads the gospel reading?
After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little.
You may be seated. Is her mommy here? Her mommy's got her. All right, we take care of our kids. Miss Susan asked me to come and share on this very lesson that Annie just read. It's about Jesus testing Philip. The word is a pretty cool word because it means putting him to the proof. He wanted to see what Philip was made of. He wanted to see what was in Philip's heart. We dutifully in the little class read the scripture, and I was talking about it a little bit, or was trying to talk about it a little bit, and this same little precious girl, a year and a half ago, Annie was there, and she's a fireball, and she was sitting about two seats over from me, and she said, oh, she said, "I know, was he one of those Philip-steins?" And, of course, the whole class kind of gets out of hand then. And they've got, there's a helper there called Miss Trish. Y'all know Trish, Trish and Gordon. So Trish dutifully got them all settled down. And so then I was doing my best to lead the group and to be age appropriate with the group. And I could just tell there was another little kid named Sam. Now, Sam was over there. He's a thinker. Sam's not. He just, you could tell a kid, the wheels are turning. And Sam just then silently said, "You know, I've been thinking a lot about dinosaurs lately." And so I'm thinking, oh boy, where are we going to go? And then Sam said, "What I think happened is that a very hungry dinosaur came along and ate all of the people." And then we thought, well, that settled the apostles' problem right there. You know, no need to worry about feeding the hungry people after that. So then I'm getting back in, and I'd already been warned to say, "Now be age appropriate, Steve. It's in the seminary class." So I'm in. I mean, I don't talk fast anyway. I've got this West Texas drawl, and so I was calmly, lovingly explaining the lesson to them. Now, I'm pretty sure at this point, my bride of 51 plus years was thinking, we really need to move this on a little bit. And so my sweetheart of 51 years just asked the class, "Do any of y'all have any concerns like Philip had? Like, how are we going to take care of this situation?" Well, this little angel you just saw, she just shot back up right again and said, "Yes, I have a concern." And I thought, well, this will be good, and because she's engaging. And so I lovingly, gently leaned over to her and said, "Annie, what is your concern?" And she's belted out, "I'm really concerned that we are not going to make it through this lesson." At that very moment, and this is the gospel truth, at that very moment, my wife, Diane, kicked me in the shin. I still have the bruise. She kicked me in the shin and said in her firm voice, "Steve, get on with the lesson." After that, I was absolutely convinced that every seminary professor who teaches theology needs to beg Miss Susan for the privilege of teaching in her Sunday school classes. If you can pass Miss Susan's classes, you know, as a professor, you'll make it. And for that matter, so all right, how many elementary school teachers do we have? How many elementary, middle school, high school? Y'all stand up. All you teachers, come on, come on, come on. Y'all stand up. Look at this. I'm telling y'all, here's the saints. Here's the true saints. Though we do need to pray for them. Well, all right, let's take a look at it, and let's see what the Lord has to say to us through Philip about this whole business of prayer. All right, Philip was put to the proof. He was tested. Now, anybody take a test recently? I know some of y'all have probably given tests recently, but anybody take a test recently? Well, all right. So I have. I had to renew my driver's license. Anybody had to renew your driver's license in the state of Kentucky recently? And I thought, you know what? No big deal. I don't need my glasses. I can pass the test. I go up and I start reading the very top line with the very largest letters, and the sweet, nice lady behind the desk said, sir, okay, you know what? You're going to have to put your glasses on. So I failed the test. I think all of us have an idea of what it's like to fail a test. Now just think about Philip. He'd had lots of studies with Jesus. I mean, do we not have a lot of studies around this place? I mean, we have good studies. A good one starting Wednesday night. I think, Jim, aren't you finishing up one? Right, Jim's finishing up. I mean, we've got Sunday school classes, small groups, accountability groups. You name it. And I think as the people called Methodists, we need to be in these types of fellowship settings, learning settings, growing settings. We need to learn about Jesus. Philip was learning about Jesus. I mean, here he is with the Lord of the universe. He saw the miracles. He heard the teachings. He's getting the stuff ingrained in his own heart in the one-on-ones that Jesus is having after all of these big events take place. So here's a man who's growing. Clearly, here's a man who's all in. But just like every member of the worshiping community here this morning, every one of us, Philip stood in need of major transformation. Look at this next slide. See if you recognize. Oh, yeah, do I hear an amen? I love Johnny Cash. I grew up hearing him, and I'm thankful to hear him resurrected here and with the Super Bowl ads. Have you heard this one? Your own someone to hear your prayers, he sings in that unmistakable voice of his. Someone who cares, your own personal Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, he is personal. And he's present to us all of the days of our lives. And he loves us all of the days of our lives. He's working to take us home. But do you remember those old 45, the vinyl records, you know? And they got a flip side. Yeah, big old holes. They got a flip side. If you flip your own personal Jesus over and play the other side, you're going to play a side that says that he loves you enough to test you. We think about us studying him all of the time. Guess what? He's studying us as well. He knows us. He loves us. He knows where we need to be stretched. He knows where we need to grow. It's really kind of a frightening thought on the one hand, as well as a comforting thought. If you're going to have a personal Jesus, you got to know he's going to stretch you. He's going to allow tests. He's not the author of evil. We need to be very, very clear about that. The Lord our God does not author evil of any kind. He redeems evil. But he does allow situations to open your own heart to see what's on the inside. And let us be very clear, Jesus was pleased with Philip. He loved Philip. But Philip failed the test. Now, the spring semester a year ago at Asbury was a long, hard semester for me. I was really tired after our graduation ceremonies, and right after that, my wife Diane and I had to jump in a car and drive to Dallas, Texas for one of our grandson's high school graduations. So right before we got to Southern Illinois, Diane started driving, and I mean, I was conked out. I was fast asleep over in the driver's side. We're driving along Southern Illinois, when all of a sudden, I start hearing the loudest, worst, awful, screeching sound I've heard in many a year. It was that kind of metal against metal, you know. It's like a bearing. My family's already laughing at me. It was like something was coming apart on that car. I'd heard that sound before, many times growing up in a farming and ranching environment. I'd heard it when belts and pulleys went out on combines and on tractors and on pickup trucks. I'd heard it when gears started jamming up, or when wheel bearings started going out. It's metal against metal, and it's a screeching, awful noise. I was convinced that we were going to be on the side of the road in just a few minutes. I was so convinced, I even called my grandson Austin, our grandson Austin, who's here this morning. I said, Austin, I'm going to try and make it to St. Louis. Could you please get in the car and come get us? Because we're going to have to take this car to the shop. Something's wrong. I pulled over, got under the hood looking. I couldn't find anything. The noise stopped. We got back in the car, and here it comes again. That terrible screeching noise. And then Diane said it. She said, you know, Steve, it almost sounds like a bunch of crickets. And boom, it hit me. It was not hundreds, not thousands, not millions, trillions of cicadas in southern Illinois. It was the awfulest thing. I mean, I've heard those things all my life, but never at the volume that they were when we were driving. In fact, we know now that was the worst outbreak of cicadas in 221 years in our nation. I failed the test. I thought I knew what it was. In fact, I was convinced I knew what it was. Can you identify? Oh, my heavens. It's very humbling. In fact, it was absolutely humiliating to fail that test. Now, here's what I need you to know. It's the trap I fell into. It's the trap Philip fell into. Philip had to have been a good businessman, right? I mean, he could look at the size of the crowd. And he immediately knew, say, look, if I worked for most of a year, for the wages that I'd get for most of a year, Jesus, we wouldn't even be able to buy everybody a little tiny sliver, communion-sized sliver of bread. It's just impossible. He looked at the impossible, and all he saw was the impossible. That was the test. How many looked at the impossible recently, huh? It's tough, because we just cannot see the whole all of the time. So there's going to be tests on our way home. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8:2. You'll see it. Remembering Moses wrote the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. What? In order to humble you. What? Testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Man, think about all of the turns in your life, all of the meandering. I love the text that I teach from that a famous Methodist theologian wrote called Tom Oden that talks about how the Lord works in and through all of our meanderings, all of the crazy things, what we think are even all of the mistakes, to lead us home, to bring us home. Look, a great part of the redemption process has been and always will continue to be the Holy Spirit opening our eyes to that which is true. To the truth of God. It's not relative. There is truth. And he shows us this. Now look at what Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 12. You know it. Many of you know this one by heart. For we know only in part. We prophesy only in part. For now we see in a mirror. And how is that mirror? It's dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. The Lord sees my life. He knows my life. He knows what's going on in my life. But I don't even see the whole of my own life. I don't know how it's going to end. I don't know where I'm going to be. Look, humility leads to dependence. Now look at this next slide. It's a prayer from St. Paul. Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. I just want you to look at the first part. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend. Now get it. The power to see the way the Lord wants you to see is not necessarily inherent to you. Yes, he asks for your competency in all things that you touch, in all places where you serve. He does want you to be competent. But he wants you to know that you do not see the whole. In fact, as a creature, I will never see the whole. Only the Father encompasses all things, not the creation. And there's comfort in that. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to see the whole picture. But what I am called to have is faith. And faith is always trust to keep moving forward in obedience to our Lord. Look at what Solomon wrote. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and be not wise in your own eyes. So with this posture of humility, let's move to the last rhythm of this series. Man, the rhythms this has been a strong series. So Brian started us out on worship, which is the first rhythm that we all need to have in our lives. And then Brian went to scripture after that. And then Nora covered service, and then Brian nailed us all with 10-penny nails last week on accountability. Anybody here last week? Woo, that was a barn burner. He got us. Now, the rhythm of prayer, couched in a posture of humility. What are we talking about? Well, there was another disciple there named Andrew. Andrew just had a tiny little bit more faith than Philip did, not a lot. Andrew still saw it as an impossibility. But Andrew brings a scrawny little sack lunch to Jesus to see what Jesus would do with the scrawny little sack lunch. Get it? The test is meant to point us beyond ourselves, and this is precisely where prayer comes in. So what do? In the next slide, we pray to God the Father through Jesus by the Holy Spirit's leading. Now let's just unpack that just a little bit. We pray to God the Father. What are we praying? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy what? Kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy what? Will be done. We're praying for the inbreaking of God's kingdom. We're praying for his will to be done. And friends, those are things, realities, truth that is received. I do not define kingdom, nor do I define the Father's will. It's all made possible that I can even hear the Father's will and be joined with the Father through the life, the death, the atoning sacrifice, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus our Lord, who sits now at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding for us. And then the Holy Spirit was given to give us that power to listen to the Father's will. Now, how do you do that? Where do we listen to the Father's will? Look, I want you to go back and review the message that Brian gave on Scripture. That was one of the most powerful messages any of us will ever hear. It's right in that message of listening, of soaking, of being in the Word on a daily basis that we've got the environment possible for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. prayer is listening, and it's only after listening then that we can go in and pray, give us this day everything we need and forgive us of what we need to be forgiven of and forgive those who have maligned us in some way. And Lord God, please don't let us be trapped by the evil one or by any kind of evil. Listening. Do you remember, I think it's the fifth verse of the famous Charles Wesley hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." He speaks and listening. Say it again. He speaks and listening to his voice. New life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice. The humble poor believe. Well, we can receive. We can hear with confidence. One of my most favorite places in the world is a place called the Weminich Wilderness Area. It's in southwestern Colorado. We go there as often as we can. And one of the places I like to go is a ledge about 15 miles north of Durango, Colorado, and I go up 1,000 feet above, roughly, above the Animas River, anima, soul, life force, the river of life that flows through that wonderful, beautiful area. And I can see miles of the river, but I can also see the kayakers coming down from the north, going left to right, going due south on that river. And right in that section where I sit, it's a class 5 rapids. That's the most dangerous in the world. And I can see what these guys are fixing, and gals are fixing to get into, what they're fixing to hit around the corner. They can't see it. I can see the boulders around the next corner. I can see the swirling tide pools. Those are the most dangerous of all. I can see what's coming, and then I can see once they pass under Baker's Bridge, they're going to break out into a broad, beautiful, quietly flowing stream by the waters of rest. It's a beautiful, or in the waters of rest. When the Lord our God created all that is, he created time. But as the Creator, he is not bound by time. He stands out from time. Because he stands out from time, that means that he is present to all time. Every single moment of your life, every single moment of this world, he sees it. It's called the eternal now. He knows it. He sees your beginning, your middle. He sees the end. He knows it all. If he knows what's around the corner, then he is the one we can trust. And if I'm going to trust him, I need to hear him. I need to listen to him. I need to receive from him. And here's the great invitation before us now as a church, to be a body of Christ that lives and walks and moves in all of these rhythms, knowing that what we receive is the most important of all. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and thank him, our Father, for this meal that has been prepared for us. Amen.